Jason Matera here, filling in for Jason Rantz. You know the drill by now. We start you off with
what's trending.
That's right.
On the campaign trail.
Right on the campaign trail. That would be Governor Jay Inslee. I think he's still around hovering, you know, at the big lofty 1%. 1%? He may crack 1.2% after his upcoming CNN town hall, which is going to take place tomorrow. CNN announced, CNN conducted a poll, and in this poll, 73% of respondents didn't know who Jay Inslee was. I think the number's a little low. It's shocking. I was looking for a number exceeding 80%. I wonder if 73% of people, if they saw Jay Inslee here in Washington State walking down the street, probably wouldn't know who he is. I just don't. He's probably looking for a name recognition in his own state. Anyway, this guy is a single issue candidate. Climate change. He told CNN he's running for president because when you go into Wenatchee, Washington, see a couple crying in front of their house because it was torched, and a man holding his wife. Climate change is not an abstraction to governors. We see it when we go to these emergencies. Oh, this guy is just exploiting a trap. I don't know how this house was torched. Most, as we covered already, most of these forest fires are man-made. Like the vast majority of them. It's not even close. Exceeding 70% of them. And then the rest has to do with the dead trees allowed to fester. And there's inexplicably nobody is clearing these dead trees. And they end up being infernos when a fire is set off. So there we go. Jay Inslee is going to be on the CNN. You know, I guess we have to watch it, don't we, Tom? Because we have to comment on it. Unfortunately, I mean, think about this. This is what we do. The job, we're basically the illegal aliens of talk radio. We do the job that you don't want to. You don't want to sit home on a Wednesday evening after a long day at work and watch Jay Inslee, but we do. We have to do this. We're the illegal aliens of talk radio. We do the work that normal Americans don't want to do.
We got to make a drinking game out of this.
What would be? That's a good point. And this is something we can explore further. But is there a buzzword? Is there something that Inslee is just... There's some buzzword he constantly says, besides climate change.
Yeah, there's tons. Like, when he says that kids are being affected, he uses kids. Like, our kids couldn't breathe. Our kids can't go swimming. Our kids are suffering from smoke. Trump's hurting the kids. That's like a shot or two there.
So any time that he hides behind a child to advance his green radicalism. There we go. You may be plastered before the night's over.
Oh yeah, it's the reason to do it.
That's the reason. See, I'm not a heavy drinker. I'm just, I don't know, man. Once you get kids, it wonderful, but
kids can play too.
The drinking game. My kids are 15 months old.
Oh,
the only thing they're drinking is the sippy cups with strawberry flavored water.
Couple of years.
More than a couple of years, man. Okay, moving on.
What's trending? National
news. Big news, actually. Noteworthy news out of the Capitol Hill today. William Barr, the attorney general, testified. It was supposed to be about budgetary items regarding his department. But, of course, it quickly turned to the Mueller report. The progressives can't just let this one go. There's some conspiracy they're holding on to collusion. MSNBC is playing in my studio inexplicably. I don't know why MSNBC is playing, but what are they talking about? The Barr hearing, and Barr insisting that everything has been by the books and up to speed, but we're skeptical. Oh, come on. Anyway, one of the items progressives keep mentioning is why did he release a summary and not use a summary from Robert Mueller? Now, part of this has already been answered, that there was sensitive information in the summary by the special counsel's office. So Barr used a summary, wrote a summary himself, four pages. But What we didn't know is that Barr asked Mueller if he wanted to review the summary ahead of time for thoughts, suggestions, input, or just see what he thought about it. And this is what William Barr said about that today.
We on the letter of the 24th, Mr. Mueller's team did not play a role in drafting that document, although we offered him the opportunity to review it before we sent it out, and he declined that. The letter on the 29th, I don't believe that that was reviewed by Mr. Mueller or that they participated in drafting that letter. But to go back to something you said in your opening statement about the availability of the report, as I've said, as you pointed out, since my confirmation, I do think it's important that the public have an opportunity to learn the results of the special counsel's work. And I said then that I would work diligently to make as much information public as I could and available to Congress as I could.
Yeah, he's going to make it available, he said, by mid-April. So we're coming up on that. And it's preposterous to think that the summary would not comport with the findings of the special counsel, because all Robert Mueller has to do is go public. Well, someone on his team going public, testifying, they probably will be called at some point, I think, by House Democrats to testify about their findings. So it would be silly if William Barr decided that he would be dishonest in his summary. But it goes farther than that. Today, he said that another big contention was, how can you summarize 400 pages in just 48 hours? You got the report, you summarized it, you got it on Friday afternoon, you summarized it by Sunday. How is that possible? How are you able to boil it down to 4 pages? Well, William Barr had an answer for that one as well. Go.
The thinking of the special counsel was not a mystery to the people at the Department of Justice prior to his submission of the report. He and his people had been interacting with the Deputy Attorney General and lawyers supporting the Deputy Attorney General in his supervision of the special counsel. And in that context, there had been discussions. So there was some inkling as to some of the thinking of the special counsel. Furthermore, on March 5th, I believe, the deputy and I met with Special Counsel Mueller and his team and had a preliminary discussion about the report. So we had an inkling as to what was coming our direction. And so even more thinking within the department was done about that over that time. That was a matter of weeks. And then when the report came, and it came approximately midday on Friday, the Deputy Attorney General and I and our staffs worked closely for the balance of that day, Saturday and Sunday.
There we go. So another progressive conspiracy goes poof. William Barr sounds like a bureaucrat. He's level-headed bureaucrat, a little boring. I was debating whether or not to play the audio, but it's important because he said that his office has been meeting with the special counsel for weeks, that they had an inclination. They knew where the conclusion was heading. So they had time to digest this, prepare for this. And then there's the staff, his staff, which is large, and then the staff of the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, which is also large. And together, both staffs, I know, shocker, were able to read 400 pages. But it's, you know what? If that's all you're doing, it's not that difficult to read, and especially with multiple teams on it, read 400 pages and then give a summary of what you just read. But another talking point by the left is going up in smoke. We also have, which we're going to get to just in a minute, the criteria for redaction, because there's going to be some redactions coming up when this report is released. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for my bud Jason Rants. And we're going to continue with the format.
What's trending?
What's trending?
In Trumplandia.
Trumplandia. This is Trump. Bob Barr still, right? We're still with Bob Barr.
Yeah, it's just it's about Trump.
Okay, it is. Yeah, definitely it's about Trump. Okay, so Democrats have made this outlandish request that they want all of the grand jury testimony, they want all the raw data, they want all the raw evidence. They don't want any redactions to the report. They think they constantly move in the goalpost. Now that collusion isn't a thing. It is unfounded. Thankfully, can't you just celebrate that, by the way? Can't you just celebrate that your president isn't a Russian agent? I mean, just stop and think about it. We have one political party that is invested in the idea, invested in this narrative that Putin is the real puppet master. I know, it was outlandish because it was an outlandish premise. But now that it's been removed, shouldn't this be a cause for celebration? Well, the progressives are not celebrating. In fact, they don't want any redactions. They think that William Barr is trying to pull a fast one. He's playing fast and loose with the facts here, and he's going to use redactions to his advantage to shield Donald Trump. Well, William Barr, anticipating this question today, laid out the criteria he will use for redactions. And the redactions are happening now with the help of the special counsel's office. Go.
If I identified four areas that I feel should be redacted, and I think most people would agree, the first is grand jury information, 6E material. The second is information that the ICE, the intelligence community, believes would reveal intelligence sources and methods. The third are information in the report that could interfere with ongoing prosecutions. You will recall that the special counsel did spin off a number of cases that are still being pursued, and we want to make sure that none of the information in the report would impinge upon either the ability of the prosecutors to prosecute the cases or the fairness to the defendants. And finally, we intend to redact information that implicates the privacy or reputational interests of peripheral players where there is a decision not to charge them.
So there you have the criteria laid out by William Barr himself on what he'll use to redact portions of the full Mueller report, which we should have in about a week and a half. I'm sure it's going to be riveting reading, right? Riveting reading. And not really. Not really. The whole thing was absolute nonsense. Okay, what's next?
What's trending? National.
National. Another woman has come forward to accuse Joe Biden of invading her personal space. I think we're up to 8 women now. 8 women. I don't think there are fewer women than that, but it could be higher. There could be 9 or 10, but I believe 8 is the number right now. A gal by the name of Lily J, she wrote a piece in Slate, which is a liberal online publication, that Biden, this is according to the Washington Examiner, was overly touchy with her while the then college student. So she was a college student. It gets even weirder, right? Overly touchy with the college student was speaking at the White House event in 2014 as a survivor of sexual assault. Let that one sit in. There's a summit at the White House on sexual assault. I'm guessing it's about sexual assault on campus. It's a whole nother topic, but so this woman who apparently is a survivor of sexual assault is there, and she's featured as one of the speakers. And Biden starts to get handsy with her. Now, you shouldn't be getting handsy with any woman who is not your significant other, right? That's not controversial, right? We can stipulate that, right? Shouldn't
it's
be
decency.
It's decency. It's common deeds. It's etiquette. It's also will keep you out of jail, right? Right? It'll keep you away from being charged for a sexual assault. I mean, it's important.
Or worse, off the couch, if you know what I'm saying. Because she gets mad, right? And your wife sends you to the The couch.
Oh. I don't get... I haven't been sent to the couch at all in my 6.5 years of marriage now. Do I have to do that right? Hopefully my wife is not listening. I think it's six and a half years. Okay. Where were we? Oh, Biden. So don't get handsy with people who are not your spouse, your significant other, right? Biden is getting handsy with the sexual assault survivor at the White House with cameras rolling. She at the time didn't think much of it. She felt a little weird. She says, when he came to the stage, he leaned in and gave me a coffee-scented word of encouragement, meaning his breath was smelling like coffee. I hate that. The side. I'm a coffee drinker. I'm mindful of it. So I drink coffee. I'm always having some Listerine strip if I am in public. Just to be nice. This dude's the vice president of the United States at the time. You're like getting up and close with a woman and your breath smells like burnt Starbucks. It's nasty, man. Just saying. So after giving her a coffee-scented word of encouragement, he then held my hand and pointed at me as he said something to the crowd. So he's holding the girl's hand. College student. The feeling of questioning my own experience was a familiar one. Why hadn't I been more aware of Biden's contact with me? Why didn't it occur to me to be more perturbed? Why had I so quickly discredited my annoyance at having to hold hands with him like I was a little girl? She finally came forward writing this after his sorry, not sorry video where he blamed a generational divide, retail politicking, that he's just handsy with people. That's just the generation he grew up in. I mean, if he just smells a woman's hair, big whiff. Oh, that's just normal. If he's just caressing your shoulders, even though you're not his wife, that's just generational divide. It's just how he did politics. If he's kissing your neck, holding your hand, like your little girl at a White House press conference, that's just how Joe Biden does things. So this woman, Lily J, was upset by Joe Biden's non-apology, and decided to write it. Listen, I've covered politics a long time. Was based in Washington before. I've been in Seattle 6 years now. Was based on the East Coast in Washington D.C. in the belly of the beast, covering politics firsthand. You know what this tells me? All these women who've come forward, that whoever is releasing this Oppo research, and that's what it is, it's Oppo research. These are coordinated for sure. They have the goods, the big ones, that will most likely, I would be surprised if this doesn't happen. I think it will. Joe Biden announces he's running for president. Right now, it's just he's exploring his options, but he's running. He announces he's running for president and why, and then some serious allegations come forward. Not just the handsy weird, I'm smelling your hair creepiness, which is odd, right? I'm just, that's not a generational gap, is it, Tom? That's not a divide. That's just not normal retail politicking. I mean, if.
I think that's a thing.
If you were at a Shama Sawant rally, you would not go to the back of her and start sniffing her hair, would you?
No, I would not.
You would not do that.
Can confirm.
Okay.
Would not.
Okay. Any other politician? I just mentioned her.
Or any other politician. Just for the record.
Just for the record.
It's not just her.
Any politician.
None
of that. Shama Sawant. You would not smell any politician.
No.
I'm with you there. I think it's weird. I don't even smell my wife's hair. I'm telling you. I think it is strange. But.
Probably rude, too. Like, what, you know?
How do you even, like, what is the segue from that? Like, how do you even explain yourself? Like, you're behind a woman, again, who's not your wife. You take a whiff of the hair. She turns around with an awkward, like, what are you doing? What is your response back? Oh, I'm just seeing if you use L'Oreal or Paul Mitchell. Like, what is the response? Are you a Head and Shoulders?
I would recommend changing if I were you. Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever that tactic is, it is not good. Okay, I wanted to get to this story coming up. A middling basketball player who happens to be white, is now writing an article prattling on and on about white privilege. White privilege from an NBA basketball player. I know. You can brace yourself for this one. It is, all the buzzwords are there, but we got to get to it. You can't even turn on ESPN today with someone grousing about white privilege. Shut up and do sports, but they're not. They're talking about white privilege. Jay Cimatera here filling in for my buddy Jason Rance. And 3 hours almost in the can. Amazing. I think we've hopefully exceeded your expectations. I told Jason prior to his departure that my goal was modest, and that was not to lose his entire audience in the first hour. And Tom, did we exceed?
We exceeded. Goal?
Okay, good. Yeah. We did not lose Jason's entire audience within the first hour. That's good. I consider that a win. Right? You start low, manage the expectations. All you can do is go up from there, right? All right. I'm going to get to some interesting news coming out of Israel. It looks like, it's still preliminary, but it looks like Netanyahu may squeak, and I just mean squeak by in his election, which I hope he does, because that means more meltdowns from the leading Democrat candidates for president. And if you want to get on the program, the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline is 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. I see the texts coming in, and we're going to, some of them are good, and I will read many of them. Just so you know, and I'm going to do this really fast, but I want to give you an idea that you are, I think you are in good hands. And it's going to sound bragging, but it's not meant to be. But I've been covering politics and culture for a while. I have three best-selling books. The first book, I think I've done actually KTTH on all the books when they came out. But the New York Times bestsellers, so they did very well. And I humbled by that on, again, covering politics and culture in Washington, D.C. for a while. Been in Seattle now 6 years. And I've seen just in the 6 years, I thought it was bad when we had the diddler as mayor. I thought it was bad. It's even worse with Jenny Durkin. We can just reverse and go back to Mr. Kid Toucher. Alleged Kid Toucher. You know, you got to add that in there. But man, what a beautiful city just going to crap. But that's why we're here, to try to do something about it. In the very least, we get to, our contribution can be, here's what progressives do to your city. Don't let them do to your city what they've done to us. Right? We can just show, we can be the contrast. If anything, in the very least, we can be the contrast. Recently, I just got off a television show with Warner Brothers. It was called Crime Watch Daily. So I went from covering one group of criminals in D.C. to just criminals writ large across the country. And the show was very successful. Won in an Emmy, was nominated multiple times for four Emmys. Although, again, not to say it's not bragging, just to show you that Tom didn't go to a tiny village, peer inside, and said, hey, put down the syringe. Do you want to fill in for Jason Rance today? Didn't go like that. Have you ever done that, by the way?
Not any unsanctioned ones.
Not any only the sanctioned.
Only the sanctioned.
Only the
sanctioned. Yeah, we're not just picking random people.
Okay. No, not at all. How would you do that? All right. Here's a story that annoys me, bothers me. Because the news can be so depressing today, or it can be maddening, right? And I don't want to be, I don't want to be angry about what I hear. Yeah, some rogue judge, for instance, just struck down the question of, are you an American citizen in the 2020 census? I mean, stuff like that is infuriating, right? Because he said it was unconstitutional and capricious and arbitrary. We're trying to see how many actual Americans are here for congressional representation. We have stories like that all the time. And if you don't manage it, your blood pressure can go up. You can be incensed by the lunacy around you. So like many American men and women, but mostly men, we turn on ESPN. Right, Tom?
Heck yeah.
It is a diversion from the realities of life, and it's something we enjoy, whatever our sporting event is. But just enjoy it. It's just, it's not real. It's just for a momentary point in time, it allows you to forget about all the craziness that's going on. But you can't even do that with ESPN now. Turn on ESPN, and I like basketball personally. It's probably my favorite basketball and football. My two favorite sports. I'm not a baseball fan just because I don't want it.
Mariners,
I went to a Mariners game last Sunday. So I will go. I can't sit for 4 hours and watch a game on television. I just can't do it. I don't have time. Basketball, football, I watch, I enjoy. So I turn on, there's a show called The Jump, and there is grousing about white privilege and how courageous and riveting this article by Kyle Korver is on white privilege. Now, Kyle Korver, middling basketball player, he's known as a three-point shooter, can't really play defense, can't really rebound. I mean, he's a white dude. How more stereotypical can you get, right? White guy, can't play defense, can't really jump, but is a good shooter. So he's made a career and he's made a lot of money, millions and millions of dollars. He writes an article, an op-ed for the Players Tribune called Privilege, talking about inequality and racism in America and his white privilege that he just came to realize exists. And I'm hearing this on MSNBC. It should have been MSNBC. On ESPN. Turn the channel because I can't take it. Then go to ESPN.com. Boom. I'm hit with the article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Actually, Breitbart had a good summary of it because it's filled with, it's like a press release from Jenny Durkin's office. It's filled with all the right progressive cliches. All the right progressive. By the way, from a factual matter, you're going to talk about white privilege. Isn't the NBA not the sport you should be in? Because very few of the players are actually white, American white. Most of the white players, and there aren't many of them, they're from Europe. It's just a sport that's dominated by mostly black men. Right? It's just factual as a factual matter. So it just seems like an odd overview to be grousing about white privilege in the National Basketball Association. Because the white kid in West Virginia does not nearly have the same amount of white privilege. Does not have any privilege compared to, say, a LeBron James, a Russell Westbrook. Pick any top NBA talent. And yet somehow there's white privilege. Now, Kyle Korver, who he's on his way out. I think he's 38 years old. So maybe this is just a publicity stunt because he wants to seem woke. He wants to build his woke street cred and some NBA team may pick him up because maybe he can't play anymore. He can't really shoot anymore, but he's woke. So we want to have the woke white guy on our team. Kyle Korver said he became aware of white privilege when Thunder was that playing at the Utah, and they're playing against the Jazz, and Korver is now a member of the Jazz. And for some reason, a fan says to Russell Westbrook, he's like courtside fan, says to Westbrook, "Get on your knees." This is his version of trash talking. A fan says to Westbrook, "Get on your knees." Now, that just seems weird. Don't you agree? Like, if you're going to trash talk another player, that seems like a weird, it's very sexual. Very sexual. Kyle Korver said it was example of white privilege and white racism in society. So you have some knucklehead fan who is trash talking in some weird way. I wouldn't recommend trash talking in that way to another star basketball player. And it was an example of white privilege in society, even though the fan got banned. from the arena. A teammate of Kyle Korver's got arrested in 2015 because he was at a crime, at an incident, and the police thought he was impeding in a criminal investigation, and they handcuffed him, and he got injured, and that was an example of, well, you guessed, white privilege. Kyle Korver said, why is this? Why is my teammate at the time out? We have a back-to-back. Why is he out? Well, he should be in his hotel room sleeping. But he's, no, he's not. He's out at the club. And there was an incident, and the cops arrested him. White privilege. There's more from this because it's so preposterous. It's so ludicrous, but we hear this all the time. And we are back. Welcome to the Jason Rantz Show. My name is Jason Matera, filling in for Jason Rantz today. Even ESPN, you can't get away from the progressive ideological bird droppings. Even ESPN, Kyle Korver, a white guy, plays for the Utah Jazz now, has played for multiple teams. He writes an op-ed on white privilege in society. And every ESPN show has to talk about how courageous Kyle Korver is. How courageous and whoa, my goodness, what boldness it came to come forward and admit that you have white privilege. In this op-ed, it's exactly opposite, by the way. It takes boldness and courage not to conform to the reigning orthodoxy. It's easy to go within the osmosis, the flow of things. Really courageous would to say, stand up and say white privilege is BS, and assigning value to people based on their skin color is immoral and unethical and should be condemned, not condoned. So Korver said a fan who trash talked in a very weird way to Russell, another basketball player, was racist. There was a meeting of the Utah Jazz to discuss the incident because this fan said something. I don't even consider it racial. It was weird. I didn't think it was racial. Just an odd way to trash talk. But anyway, Kyle Korver writes, how can I, as a white man, part of this systemic problem, become part of the solution when it comes to racism in my workplace? Racism in his workplace. The vast majority of NBA players are black, but there's racism in his workplace? These people have made millions and millions of dollars. And if you're the creme de la creme, you get your shoe deals and endorsement deals. You're like widely praised and lauded. People look up to you. You're a hero. They want to be systemic racism at my workplace, in my community, in this country. He goes on to say, how is he going to address it? Well, two concepts that I've been thinking about a lot lately are guilt and responsibility. Now, the left likes to render people perpetually guilty and perpetually as victims. So we'll see what he goes, right? Two concepts that I've been thinking about a lot lately are guilt and responsibility. When it comes to racism in America, I think that guilt and responsibility tend to be seen as more or less the same thing. But I'm beginning to understand how there's a real difference. As white people, are we guilty for the sins of our fathers? No, I don't think so. Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks for that. But, he says, we are responsible for them. Yes, I believe we are. We are responsible, Kyle Korver says, for the sins of our fathers. Now, just a history lesson here. By the way, it is absurd. Is Kyle Korver a descendant of a slave owner? Did he do one of these Ancestry.com kits? Is that why he has this this guilt he needs to get off of his chest and show responsibility? But most of the people here today, they don't have even a tangential relationship to American slavery. The so-called whites, how many of them are actually of English descent? I know you can't even rationalize and be logical with these people. But the NBA and ESPN focusing their attention on this sea monster that goes by white privilege, ravaging America's oceans, looking for every successful minority, and it's going to swallow them whole like Jonah. stop them from heading to successful waters. White privilege. Everything is blamed on white privilege. White privilege. It's really when you don't have an argument to say, oh, systemic, to fall back. You know what the left does? And this is, it's such a pernicious scheme of theirs, is to turn the civil rights movement on its head. The civil rights movement, of course, was about having an equal standard for everyone. And now we've come to the point where we're saying that you are born in America with prepackaged grievance or prepackaged guilt just by how you look. And that is racist, that your skin color or your gender or your sexuality, whatever the identity facet is, determines your destiny. There is no place on earth that is least racist than America. By the way, the fans, most NBA fans, this is even more preposterous, most NBA fans are, according to ESPN, are white. If you look at the aggregate. Though, how racist of these individuals going out and shelling out money that goes towards the salary of these multi-gazillionaires in the case of someone like LeBron James. Can you, LeBron James tweeted this article by Kyle Korver. I'm sorry. I like to relax, and it is a getaway when I turn on sports and to be lectured about white privilege. It's just frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating. You can't get away from it. You can't escape the nonsense. LeBron James tweets it out. Oh, my, Kyle Korver's my brother. Why? LeBron James is the last person on earth. Here's the man. By the way, what a system of white privilege. Think about it. A system of white privilege where the most popular president today that's alive is Barack Obama, black man. The most popular and one of the richest women in the world is Oprah Winfrey, black. One of the biggest sports legends and icons. And most influential cultural figures, I would say today, LeBron James, black. What? Whoever is in charge of the system of white privilege is obviously falling asleep at the wheel and needs to be fired. That's my take. My name is Jason Matera. You can catch me on Twitter at Jason Matera, 2 T's, 1 R, M-A-T-T-E-R-A. There's a topic you want me to discuss tomorrow. I'll be back. We have a great show lined up, don't we, Tom? Great show lined up for tomorrow. You want to stay here on KTTH. Hit me up on social media or my website, jasonmatera.com. Thank you for tuning in to The Jason Rant Show.